1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden offering encouraging words. A hostage release for ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas appears to be getting close.
The president said he's hoping a ceasefire deal will be in place by next Monday. Israel now agreeing to the framework for a ceasefire, 6-week ceasefire, in exchange for dozens of hostages, including Americans. No response yet from Hamas.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Trying to keep the government running past late night Friday night, President Biden and the top four congressional leaders will sit down at the White House on Tuesday. In Point Hope, Alaska, a remote Inupiat whaling village on the state's northwest coast, authorities say multiple people were killed and wounded in a shooting at a home. They offered no specifics. The government's national average price for regular gasoline dropped 2 cents in the past week. It is now just under $3.25 a gallon. This is ABC News. Social media companies call it content moderation. Critics call it censorship. The Supreme Court took arguments on laws passed by Texas and Florida.
Several justices expressed the view that laws regulating social media in the name of protecting free speech might themselves be First Amendment violations. Conservative Amy Coney Barrett asked why platforms like Facebook and X can't decide for themselves what's inappropriate for people to post.
Tell me why this doesn't look like the same kind of editorial control we see newspapers exercise.
Several justices questioned whether the case is procedurally ripe for a final decision, suggesting further litigation might be needed first. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
It's one of the sillier traditions at the White House, the annual Easter egg roll, and the administration announced the event will take place on the South Lawn Monday, April 1st. Tickets are free, but there's an online public lottery to distribute them, open now until March 4th. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Early ballots in Wisconsin won't be counted until Election Day this fall. State Senator Dan Knodel tells WYSN-TV's Up Front that he has no plans to bring the so-called Monday processing bill before the Senate Elections Committee this spring. The bill would let election workers start counting early ballots the day before Election Day. It recently passed the Assembly with broad bipartisan support. A new report says only 1 in 3 people with commercial health insurance can find proper mental health care. Stanford psychiatrist Benjamin Miller says the American system treats mental health as less important.
And when you're in a crisis where you or your loved one need get the help that they need, you have to work harder to get that help. It's almost like the cruelest irony in healthcare.
The report was released by the mental health advocacy group Inseparable. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Hornets tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back home, and what Giannis says seems like forever, taking on the Charlotte Hornets.
Going home now. I feel like we've been on the road for so long. Play against Charlotte. They're a tough team, young team, play fast, very, you know, scrappy, crafty players. dangerous team. We have to, you know, respect them and play good basketball, play hard like we did. Hopefully, we can get a win.
Bucks forward Bobby Portis.
The second half of the season, it's a sprint right now. 24 games left, we had 26 after the break. Every game starts to matter.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers in Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. NFL, the Packers at the NFL Combine. GM Brian Gutekunst says he thought Green Bay was on their way to beating the 49ers and on to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, we were, you know, 5 minutes to go in that game. I mean, I think we were squarely thinking that's where we were headed.
That's Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and mid-30s here in the overnight with south winds. On Tuesday, mostly sunny skies will reach the middle 60s. Tuesday night, though, winds turning to the northwest. They'll be gusty. Look for falling temperatures, and we'll see an inch or less of snow. Right now, it's 31.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very, very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. As always, you can call or text, join the show at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Pasty.
Yes, or make a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or former Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today, coming up at 10:33. He is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York, and he is involved now with a nonprofit organization called Keep Our Republic, which is dedicated to ensuring that democracy survives. John Vaudreuil is going to be joining us at 10:33 to talk about the disturbing increase in the number of threats against members of our judiciary. Yeah.
Okay.
This is happening all across the board. So tragically. So John will be joining us at 10:33 to talk about that. Coming up at 11:06, we are expanding our segment Beyond the Cheese. We're going Beyond the Cheese at 11:06 with Tony Melanthin. He is the director of the United Soybean Board. And soybeans, a big product here in Wisconsin.
Very big.
Very big. And Tony's going to be explaining a couple different things. In one capacity, he's going to explain, I heard this from Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, in one of her reports, that he is redoing three homes in his house using only materials made from soybeans. I know.
That's amazing.
I know. So he's going to join us to explain how that works. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk about tariffs and how this affects our farmers, how this affects consumers, what do tariffs do overall, how do they work, is it good, is it bad, all that kind of stuff. That is coming up next hour starting at 11:06. But we wanted to start off with what's happening here at home. Republican State Senator Dan Knodel yesterday on WISN's Upfront says there is no scenario he will bring the Monday processing bill to a vote before the Senate Elections Committee before the end of the session. So this would have allowed election officials, primarily in the city of Milwaukee, one day, the Monday before Election Day, to start counting all the absentee ballots in order to avoid what they call these ballot dumps that happen because we are the Milwaukee is the largest city in the state, and it takes more time to process all these ballots. And so if we gave them an extra day to get a head start, this could avoid that, but now, no, we're not going to do that.
No, I don't feel like it.
We do have a sound clip, Calvin, from yesterday's Upfront on WISN, talking to Republican State Senator Dan Knodel.
The legislation passed the Assembly with bipartisan support, and since then, we've heard Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson respond. We've heard the governor respond as well. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also responded this past week. Let's take a listen to his remarks.
You're right.
I think if you looked at what happened in the assembly, it was a good vote. It was one that I think increases transparency and it makes sure people have more faith in the system. I have no idea why senators would not want to solve the problem of these late night ballot dumps. Hopefully they'll come to their senses and they could get the vote in the March floor period. I know the main opponent of it is Representative Branchen, and I didn't think she had as much influence in the Senate as I fear she must, but hopefully we have the ability to have people come to their common senses and not listen to people who are on the fringy end of the spectrum.
So not only your reaction to those comments, but do you think that there's any scenario that this does come for a vote?
Sure. Well, I would question the Speaker's opinion that we don't have common sense in the Senate. I feel confident about my common sense and place, and where I take opinion from comes from the hearing.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this, Senator Knodel. I don't have a lot of confidence in your common sense when you're like, I confidence in my common sense. Also, I feel like this is a situation, and I hope Robin is listening. This is a situation where if I was standing next to him right now.
Robin Voss.
Yes. And we were watching this happen, we'd both look at each other and go, what? And we'd agree that this is insanity because this is a bipartisan vote.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's sitting there going, well, they're just looking after the process and the system and the whatnot. In 2020, Senator Devin Lemahieu proposed the same measure. Guess what happened then? Didn't go through.
Nothing.
Now it's not going to go through either. Why?
Because it gives more fuel when November rolls around.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump loses, they can again scream, there were ballot dumps in the middle of the night. My hair's on fire. Run, run, run. It's, oh my God.
I saw a dog eating my ballot. Yeah. All to cause consternation and confusion over something that would have been solved.
Yes.
Or helped.
Or helped. It would have helped.
I mean, if anything, they should be counting those ballots maybe at the end of every day they get them to help out. But, yeah.
Well, and I find it also interesting. Janelle Branchen was mentioned in there in Robin Voss's comments.
Can you feel that shade?
Janelle is in a little trouble of her own now.
Mm-hmm.
With some people looking at her and her involvement in the fake electors. And she's got her own thing she's going to have to be dealing with. But the reason why I make this assertion that they don't want this passed, they don't want this agreed upon, again, is because of when November rolls around, should Donald Trump lose, they want to be able to come back to this as their explanation that there was hanky-panky going on in the city of Milwaukee with the ballots and it's not fair, et cetera, et cetera. We also have a clip from Fox News, Bret Baier, of all people, doing like journalistic kind of things, talking to the former president about the 2020 election that he lost.
You lost the 2020 election.
Brett, you take a look at all of the stuffed ballots. You take a look at all of the things, including things like the 51 intelligence agents.
There were recounts in all of the swing states. There was not significant widespread fraud.
We're trying to get recounts, real recounts, not just numbers of votes.
Widespread
cast.
Corruption. There was not a sense of that. There were lawsuits, more than 50 of them, by your lawyers, some in front of judges that you appointed.
Look at Wisconsin.
That came out with
Wisconsin
no evidence.
Wisconsin has practically admitted it was rigged.
We did.
Other states are doing the same right now, and it's continuing.
There have been reviews of every election. Potential case of voter fraud in six battleground states, and they found fewer than 475 cases.
You know why? Because they didn't look at the right things.
Okay. Are you going to be
counting? They were counting ballots, not the authenticity of the ballot. The ballots were fake ballots.
You had this was a very rigged.
Are you going to go? This is how you're going to tell that independent suburban woman voter to vote for you?
Yeah.
The way Bret Baier has to talk to him,
like a child.
Hey. No, that didn't happen.
You have to be gentle when you're talking to him.
I mean, we're trying to get real recounts. Bro, it's 4 years later, man. You're good.
Well, and this is a fact that there were more than 60 cases
yep.
that were brought across the country, many of them in front of judges that Donald Trump appointed. And they lost every single one of those cases except for one.
Except for one. You know, going back to the whole ballot vote, I want to go back to actually what Robin Voss had to say, too. And it says, and this ties in with the former president speaking. He said, we want to make sure that the elections are safe, that people have trust in them, that people, and you can tell that he is over this in the, like, he wouldn't,
Robin Voss.
Yeah. Between the whole Gableman fiasco and everything that's going on, the recall, everything he's going through, he's just like, you know what? Let's just do this. Get it done with. I'm tired of it. I might not even stick around. That's not something he said. That's something I don't know if he'll run again.
Oh, I think you're onto something there. Yeah. I really do. I think he's like, okay, fine. I'm not going to be here. Let's make it a little fairer.
Yeah.
Once I'm gone.
Yeah. But you got the president to say Wisconsin pretty much admitted that it was fake.
Since when?
Who?
When did this happen?
He's so confident in his common sense about things. It's just, at what point do you get bored with this narrative? I mean, the supporters, he only talks about like 3-4 things. And at what point do you just get bored with it?
Well, I did watch, because he was at CPAC over the weekend, and he made a couple other appearances over the weekend. And one of the reporters at one of his engagements said, after 45 minutes, people start leaving because they've heard it's the same spiel. It's the same shtick.
He's not even, there's no speech. He just goes up there and riffs. As a joke last week, when I was hosting, well, you were out on Friday, we played a Trump speech during one of the segments. And we just had it playing the entire time. And we'd bring it down and we would talk, Brian, Kelly, and I.
Yeah.
And then we'd bring it up and see where he was at. And he just ramble.
They talk about Joe Biden and his cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
I challenge anyone to read a speech by President Joe Biden and then read a speech by former President Donald Trump. It will blow your mind if you read the transcript. You have to read the transcript. Over the weekend, Donald Trump called Melania Mercedes. He forgot the name of Eric and Laura, his son and daughter-in-law. He had the names of all his kids written on a note card, and he still forgot his son,
and you know,
Eric.
And the thing is that's absolutely fine when you're that age. Sometimes that happens, but you then can't make it like one of the cornerstones of your campaign to say the other guy
is feeble.
I mean, I'm half his age, and I would have to have that information
written down too,
because I would start stumbling all over myself.
Well, and the other thing I want to point out real quickly is that, And I can look further into this, but from what I remember, the largest amount of voter fraud in the country happened in Florida at the Villages.
What?
Yaha.
Stop it.
Yes. All right. Bill from Econowalk, I see you on the line. Stay with us if you would like to join us. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Pasty.
You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Matt Nair on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing time. Open good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder, the one, the only, the Maggie Dawn Show, premiering today at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. The woman is brilliant.
A force of nature.
She is a force to be reckoned with. I'm honored. I'm going to be joining her from 3 to 3:30 today on the inaugural Maggie Dawn Show. She's been on the network for a while, but doing from 6 to 7, so she's going to be joining us on the lineup weekly.
Midday,
2 to 4 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show, kicking off today at 2 p.m. We have been talking about the fact that we are not going to move forward on an election measure, which would allow...
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the eyes that are rolling so far back in your head, they're going to pop up the back of your skull.
I should be able to see what's behind me. Yeah, their refusal to make it easier for election workers in Milwaukee to start counting absentee ballots a day earlier, that's not going to happen. And I think this is because they want questions to remain. They want there to be questions about the integrity of our elections. So if and when Trump loses in November, they can say, see, they cheated.
Well, it's also like part and parcel of what's happening lately, too, with especially like the marijuana bill. That was ready to go through, and the Senate said, nah. Like, Devin Lemieux just doesn't want to, like we usually spend a lot of time criticizing Robin Voss. Rightfully so, in my opinion. But Devin Lemieux, I mean, you've got senioritis, man. You're just coasting to this 10-month break you're going to be taking on and collecting them dollars.
Yeah.
I mean.
And they are going on a 10-month vacation, essentially.
You can't put through bipartisan, and then he says something to the effect of, "Well, I'm not going to enforce my influence. I can't do that." Yes, you can. You're the Senate leader,
and that's your job.
And then in the story, when we're talking about the ballots, he said to the paper, "I can't do that because of procedures within the committee." That's not true at all either. That's an excuse. Those procedures can be suspended by the Senate if they want.
If they wanted to.
I guess what I have to do is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my car right now. I'm going to drive to Madison before they break. I'm just going to knock on the door of Senator Lemieux and be like, you have a lot more power than you know, right?
Are you going to go give him an ego fluff? Or do you think he's lacking in confidence?
I think he's I think he's lacking in believing in himselfness. You know, Knodel has got the self-confidence. His common sense. But you know what Devin needs? Just needs to believe in himself.
Fuck up, Devin.
Hey, man.
You got it.
You got this.
You can do it. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc. Thank you for your patience, Bill. And good morning. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Great show, as always. How, in 2024, has politics sunk to new lows that legitimately people talk about a man with 91 felonies and 26 sexual assaults as viable for the office of the presidency? I cannot believe people just tolerate that. Number two, if your listeners, and I'm sure you guys have, researched how much Fox News had lied about the border and instilled a riot there by saying open borders and everything else, and nobody calls Fox News on that. 2024, there is no accountability because nobody calls these people out to justify their accountability, especially with the office of the president. Thanks, and you guys have a great day.
You too, friend.
A lot of people.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank really, you, really, always appreciate you checking in, and I, as always, we appreciate you listening. To Bill's point, and we're going to do this tomorrow because we have a guest coming up at 10:30. Jimmy Kimmel sent a couple of people to interview some Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And the reporter picked a quote and attributed it to Joe Biden. And on hearing the quote that they believed President Biden said, the Trump supporters said, well, obviously he's cognitively impaired and is in no position to be president.
Yeah.
And then the reporter said, oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. This is a comment from former President Trump. The instantaneous reversal of, oh, well, that makes sense because Donald Trump said blank.
Yeah. I mean,
the instant defense mechanism for whatever Trump says, it's automatic with these people. There is no, you can put the quote right in front of them.
Yeah.
And tell them it's Biden and they will condemn it. And the same quote, tell them it's Trump and the excuses fly.
It goes to speak to many things like that, you know, and no, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to water it down. These people who you speak to at these, they're ignorant. They don't know their Bible. They don't know their candidate. They don't know the news. They just know what they're being told. These people who tell us all the time, think for yourself, do your own research. Don't be sheeple. They're the ones who are being led so simply. This is something that people have been doing for years now to them. I mean, like, people who say, like, oh, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America right now. Okay, so he's the one who pulled out of Afghanistan. Oh, no, that was Joe Biden. Oh, now it's Joe Biden. There are two government, like,
and two militaries.
There's so many, and you know, it's something that Bill said that was very interesting is, who are these people who can tolerate him? There are the people at those rallies who love him, who think he's sent by God.
Yes.
But there is no other man who can do what he is doing.
Yes.
It's the individuals that make me so angry who shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. Why not? Why not this one time? What do you have at risk that will change if Joe Biden becomes president? My guess is not a lot, because I'll say this. As an American, when Donald Trump was president, I'm very privileged. My life didn't change a whole bunch.
Right.
But you're going to sit here and go, I don't want to vote for Biden. I can only vote for Trump. He's a Republican. I guess he's my guy. Why do you tolerate that?
Well, and Liz Cheney even said, she said, we can survive bad policies. We cannot survive the shredding of our Constitution.
Absolutely.
Scott McKellen has a comment on the live stream, and I couldn't agree more. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday, make America kind again. Amen to that. Can't it be just that simple? I hear you, Scott. Let's work on it in little ways every day.
Yep.
And absolutely, just try and bring some civility back to life.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't it?
I feel like that's what we're kind of doing sometimes here.
I think we try.
Yeah. I want to get that hat that Dr. Lyerly has that says, make vulvas great again. That'd be awesome.
Merch. MOA merch. All right. We have news on the way next, followed by a great entertainment minute with Pete Schwabba. And then when we return, we're going to talk about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary. John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. He will be joining us on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden offering encouraging words. A hostage release for ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas appears to be getting close.
The president said he's hoping a ceasefire deal will be in place by next Monday. Israel now agreeing to the framework for a ceasefire, six-week ceasefire, in exchange for dozens of hostages, including Americans. No response yet from Hamas.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Trying to keep the government running past late night Friday night, President Biden and the top four congressional leaders will sit down at the White House on Tuesday. In Point Hope, Alaska, a remote Inupiat whaling village on the state's northwest coast, authorities say multiple people were killed and wounded in a shooting at a home. They offered no specifics. The government's national average price for regular gasoline dropped 2 cents in the past week. It is now just under $3.25 a gallon. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The search for a missing three-year-old boy in eastern Wisconsin turns a week old Tuesday. Elijah Vu hasn't been seen since last Tuesday in Two Rivers. Volunteer searchers say they're trying to stay positive. Meanwhile, Elijah's mother and her boyfriend were in court on Friday on child neglect charges. Officials with the State Department of Natural Resources say that wildfire season in Wisconsin is starting early this year, thanks to a lack of snow cover and unusually warm weather. Last week alone, DNR officials say they tracked 15 wildfires that burned around 30 acres. So far this year, they've tracked over 50 fires across the state. The 10-year average during the same period is 3 fires burning by this point in the year. Most of Wisconsin was under an elevated fire risk on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and mid-30s here are the overnight with south winds. On Tuesday, mostly sunny skies will reach the middle 60s. Tuesday night, though, winds turning to the northwest. They'll be gusty. Look for falling temperatures, and we'll see an inch or less of snow. Right now, it's 31.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now, in front of us, is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking. By you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you want to call in or text, you can always join us at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Our next guest is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, and he's also part of the nonprofit group called Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy. John Vaudreuil, good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you, and I got a press release from Keep Our Republic, is about the alarming increase in the number of federal prosecutors who are getting death threats and specific threats. So let's start there and talk about that, John. You were a former judge. What was your personal experience?
First of all, as much as I would have been a judge, I actually was a prosecutor.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's not a criticism. So I spent 38 years as a federal prosecutor here in Western Wisconsin, the last seven and a half as the United States attorney under President Obama. And my personal experience, fortunately, was not to have received death threats or threats against my family or friends. I had a dear friend up in Minneapolis, a federal prosecutor there, who was prosecuting a violent drug gang. And for several months, his young children were escorted to school every day by U.S. Marshals. He had a U.S. Marshal escort. So I didn't have personal experience with threats, but we were very careful. We never had any online presence, still don't. We shred personal information. We were always told to be on the lookout on, you know, Sunday night for people going through our trash here in Madison. So that's kind of my personal experience.
So what have you been hearing in the last couple of years that has led to this alarm about the increasing number of threats, John?
Well, the numbers are remarkable. I mean, what precipitated our press release was the U.S. Marshal statistics from 2023 showing a triple-digit increase. Now, mind you, these are just federal judges. 457 judicial threats in 23, 155 federal prosecutors. But I did some checking, and in Wisconsin alone in 2023, there were 150 threats to Wisconsin judges. I don't know if they track threats to prosecutors. So the numbers are really quite alarming. We all remember, I'm sure, back in June of 22 when retired Judge Romer was murdered in Juneau County.
Yes.
Somebody he'd sentenced. It's always been a crime in Wisconsin to threaten prosecutors, threaten judges, threaten advocates in various proceedings. But there is a new law pending just recently, actually, to increase judicial privacy protection here in Wisconsin, to make it a crime to demonstrate at a judge's home if you're trying to obstruct justice. So our legislature and governor, I think, are trying to address it as best you can. But the numbers are quite alarming.
John, do we know, are these threats coming from defendants, or do we know the genesis of these threats?
I would say that from what I've read, most of the threats either are from specific defendants or, of course, people attached to defendants, to them, family, friends, so on, but also issues. There was a federal prosecutor murdered in 2001, still unsolved in Seattle, shot in the evening, working at his desk in his home. His son had been in a school where there'd been a shooter, active shooter, or a gun threat of some sort. And this prosecutor, who I only knew just a little bit, became a very active leader in gun control. He was an advocate of some restrictive gun control in Seattle and the state of Washington, I should say. So issues also cause these sorts of threats. I think that's the best way to think about it, both cases and issues.
It's just disturbing. I mean, As you said, I'm sure this is not new, that defendants or, you know, friends of defendants, family of defendants, not happy with the decision of the judge or the sentencing, but the issue part of it. Is that relatively new, John?
I think so. You know, and I bet everybody listening would remember, it used to be somebody got charged with a crime. They were immediately saying, I'll have my day in court. You know, I'm going to face the jury. They'll see the full facts. And that's fully appropriate. That's our system. Now, when you're charged, it seems the reaction is, oh, they're out to get me. It's all personal. You know, they're doing this because they're trying to take away my gun when in fact you've just robbed some store with a gun. So it does seem to me, as I thought about this, that it's part of a problem we see much more frequently recently, which is a distrust of institutions, if you will, an attack on institutions and process. As I said, it used to be, I want my day in court. I'll cross-examine witnesses. I'll present witnesses. Now it's the process is wrong. And it's our electoral process, of course, people who don't, and that's our keep our republic's mission, is just understand the process. It doesn't matter which way you want to vote. It doesn't matter, you know, how cases come out. We want you to understand an electoral process and understand our legal process and then and trust the process. But with all the anger and attacks on various processes, I think that leads to then the attacks on individuals. People see, say, you know, other people saying, oh, don't trust that guy. And certain people take that as an invitation to make a personal threat.
If you're just joining us, John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, part of the organization Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy, talking about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary and efforts to increase penalties for people who are making those threats. Right, John?
Exactly. You know, I think if people think, well, what's the problem? It's just a case, you know, everybody gets through it. I want them to think about what the rule of law means. What I do now is I fly all around the world and I work with judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys trying to build systems where the rule of law is respected. And by that, I mean judges and prosecutors make decisions based on facts, not fear of anyone, not favored anyone. What did a person do? Not who they are, or who they know, or how much money or power. So by doing that, you build trust with the process. And this is a presentation I make all over the world. But I want people to imagine how hard it is, excuse me, to make decisions the right way when in the back of your mind, you're thinking, am I going to be threatened? Are my children going to be threatened? What's going to happen to my family? And if we really want the rule of law to be effective, people, judges, prosecutors, as we're talking about today, need to be able to make their decisions based just on the facts, not fear. And it's hard to make those decisions when hard to do your duty when you've got fear in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. And you're worried, like you said, you're worried for your kids, you're worried for your spouse, you're worried for your safety within your own home. And things like this, much like the threats now our librarians are getting and our election workers are getting and teachers are getting, this right. is a great way to scare people away from those professions who might really want to do this job and decide the risk isn't worth it.
Right. I mean, look at the electoral problem with people who don't want to be sitting at our tables in our schools and helping us vote and taking our registration. Who wants to do that when people figure out who you are, they're online, mm-hmm. or they threaten you face to face? That's a problem.
Yes.
And I would hope more broadly that it doesn't affect people who want to become judges or want to become prosecutors, but I think it does. And you won't know it does because they don't apply for a job. They
sure.
don't run for election. But, I think we used to call it Facebook muscles. That's no criticism of Facebook, but, you know, it's easy to be a big, strong guy, which I'm not, if you're a big, strong person, I should say, if you're just speaking online. And I just want people to think about, as if I hope they do, to think about what this means to our system of justice and our electoral system, our educational system. We stand apart. When I'm making these presentations out of the country, I know we stand apart, and people still look up to us because our systems are sound. But the attacks that are going on and the threats undercut the soundness of those systems.
John, I don't know whether you not will agree with this, because again, we get all kinds of anonymous comments on our live streams and various other ways that people can get in touch with us. And I maintain, because when I started in radio, I did the overnight shift where every strange person in the world will call you at 3:30 in the morning and breathe heavily at you. I maintain that those obscene phone callers are now the keyboard warriors of today.
Well, you have much more experience, unfortunately, or fortunately. But I will say this. I think you're right, because I think it is anonymity. Anonymity gives people courage, Kutzpah. If you will.
Yeah.
I don't think courage is the right word. We all know what courage
it
is.
It makes them brave. Courage. It makes them brave.
Right. And maybe it used to just be back in the day, getting on the phone at 3:30 in the morning. Now, of course, all the beauty and benefit of the internet leads to what we all know is the dark side.
Yeah.
And if you really want to make threats, you run things through an anonymizer, and it looks like you're making the threats from, you know, some foreign, very far part of the world.
Yeah.
And so there's ways to protect the anonymity, but anonymity brings people strength. And because if you really do go to somebody's home and make a threat, you're face to face. Okay. I think you're going to get prosecuted. And I used to say, I wasn't worried about somebody taking me out, because if they did, okay, now the real heat's coming. There will be a case. They will build, people want to build those cases. So there was no effect. But threats online have an effect.
It's an anonymity also mixed with the belief that no matter what is happening, you're never at fault. There's never a cause to, like you were saying, they're coming to take my guns. No, they're going to take your gun because you robbed a place. It's never their fault. There's never responsibility on. There's no self-reflection.
Personal accountability.
It's always this judge, this lawyer, this society, this president, this everybody. It's their fault, not mine.
No, that's a very good point. Anonymity with a lack of accountability is a dangerous recipe for a system that prides itself on being fair and just, whether it's an electoral system or whether it's a prosecutorial system. I made a speech in 2012 in Kenya about our tradition, our history of the transfer of power, the peaceful transfer of power. And it was all about the process, people knowing if you win or lose, you get another try. There's a process. Similarly with the criminal process, you knew you have a day in court, hire a lawyer, lawyers provided for you, cross-examine witnesses. But people don't think, unfortunately, about the process. They think about just themselves in this one specific moment.
John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the increasing number of threats against members of our judiciary. John, do you have time to stick around for a second segment?
Sure.
That would be great. We can talk about what people can do going forward. If you have a question for John, you can text it in at 844-967-2789. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ooh, yeah. So I could hear my sweet baby say, You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always check in, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Our guest this half hour is John Vaudreuil. He is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, also part of the organization Keep Our Republic. And we've had members of the KOR on our show before. Keep Our Republic, a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to safeguarding the pillars of American democracy. John, before the break, we were talking about this disturbing increase in threats against members of our judiciary. Is there anything the public can do other than not call and threaten members of the judiciary?
That's the number one thing you can do.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, right. That would be my first advice. I think just toning down the heat in your conversation with anybody, when you're talking about reading about a case in the newspaper and a local case, the judge has made a decision, or a higher court, or the Supreme Court of the United States, whomever, try and remember the day, and it's not that long ago, when we would talk about these things, and it didn't lead to us going, I wish that son of a gun, you know, could take, I could teach them a lesson. Or so I think one thing we can do, it's easier said than done, is to tone down our anger and to discuss issues without anger and rising temperatures.
It's hard to fight that when you have certain networks, I will say, without pointing anyone out, who seems to feed that and wants to feed that kind of emotion. Fear sells. Fear is a great motivator, and fear sells. And I don't know, maybe just vary your media diet a little and watch outlets that are a little less angry, because I do think that that is implicitly encouraged in some ways.
Well, I think you're right. And it's people who have a forum, whether it's a political forum or a media forum, I suppose, or anybody with a forum, their voice is amplified. My voice is just now just me. But if you have and it doesn't need to be somebody running for president, it doesn't need to be a big famous person. You have a forum locally, and if you have a forum, you have to know that your voice is amplified. And I know that you're right, fear sells, and fear maybe gets people to take your side in certain issues. But I think some responsibility for understanding that your message is amplified is something that people need to take to heart.
John Vaudreuil is our guest, former prosecutor. Sorry, I get my notes up here. Former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. We were talking earlier, John, about I want my day in court. If I'm accused of a crime, I want my day in court. I'm going to present my evidence and I'm going to explain my innocence. Does that when someone continues to appeal and delay and delay and delay and delay their opportunity to present their evidence in court, that, at least in my opinion, makes me question whether or not they have a very strong case.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I could see why you're thinking that way. I would suggest that if lawyers are challenging evidence and they're arguing that this shouldn't be handled a certain way or they want cases delayed, sometimes that means we don't want our day in court. That can't end well. Sometimes, however, and I have a niece whom I'm very proud of, who's a defense attorney out in Spokane, the public defender. She sees it as her opportunity, as she always puts it, to give a voice to people who would have no voice.
Right.
She represents people who can't afford an attorney, obviously. And to her, that means making sure the government has done everything right, making sure they've, you know, if they've seized evidence or gotten confessions or things like that, she's going to challenge them. And I applaud her for that. Now, the public speech making by lawyers, frankly, whether the defense attorneys or prosecutors, is something that I find very objectionable personally. And I used to find it objectionable professionally when I was U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney who hired me said, we speak in court or we don't speak, meaning you stand up, you speak through your pleadings when you file a charge. And now defense attorneys argue something in court and go to the courthouse steps. The prosecutor is on the other steps making a speech. And that, again, raises the temperature. You've seen things that people object to, judges putting gag orders, and certainly some former President Trump's trials. You lawyers and you parties, meaning President Trump and Ms. Carroll, let's say in the Carroll versus Trump case, don't go on the courthouse steps and make speeches. And it's just that to me is a personally saddening thing about the bar and political officials seeing this as a speech attempt rather than a true day in court.
Well, it's kind of cheapening, right? It's kind of cheapening even their own jobs, their own, you know, whether you're a defense attorney or a prosecutor. Yeah. It just feels like grandstanding. And as you said, the place to make your argument is in court, not in front of the public.
Right. I once had a very a difficult corruption trial, a bribery effort, Black DeFlambeau, and the three defendants were found not guilty after a week-long, difficult trial with really good lawyers on the other side. And somebody from our local paper in Madison quite correctly said, what do you think of the verdict? And what I said was, I believe in our system. The jury heard the evidence, and the jury has decided. But I too often see people from the prosecution side, the defense side, saying, I don't believe what they just did. Those 12 people are wrong. And if that's in fact the case, we've got a big problem. Appeal the cases, certainly, challenge the legal decisions, but do it the way the law calls on you to do it, not by speeches and screaming.
John Vaudreuil is a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin and is part of Keep Our Republic. If people would like to find out more, John, about KOR, where can they do that?
There's certainly an online presence, and I can't think of the website.
We'll find it. No problem. We'll find it, and we'll put it in our show notes.
They certainly can. And I want everybody to know, real quickly, Keep Our Republic is really focused on the time after an election. We want everybody to vote. We want the votes to be counted. We want you to understand how secure Wisconsin's system is.
John Vaudreuil, thank you so very much for your time. Very, very much appreciated. Stay close. News is coming up next. When we return, we go beyond the cheese with soybeans. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tuesday on the Devil's Advocates, the Michigan primary is on. Dom and Crute hanging out in Michigan. Tune in 4 to 6.
Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, if I could find my grandma's recipe for grappa, maybe we could do that.
A moonshine?
Grappa.
Oh, grappa's not moonshine?
We don't like that term.
Italians don't like the Kentucky or what?
And that's what it said on the arrest papers. That's right. You're one of the few guys I know that the grandma did time.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support W. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.